And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. We touched on part of this passage last week in the first part of this message. It's entitled, Our Weakness, God's Strength. And if there's ever a day that we need God's strength, it's today, amen? And there's times when we all feel weak. We all feel like we're maybe not at our best. And it's in those times that we can rely on the strength of the Lord rather than our own strength. And in fact, we need to rely on His strength at all times, even when we feel at our best maybe. But I want to expand on this portion of Scripture from last week, because we did talk about the later verses last week, but I want to go back in the chapter to verse number 25. And so you may need to follow along. Do you have this? I'm not sure if we have these scriptures. I don't think we do on the screen this time. I think I just wanted you to follow with me on this one. The rest of the scriptures will be available. But anyway, Isaiah chapter 40, and let's begin at verse number 25. And it says this, a question, to whom will you compare me, God asks? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Think about that for a minute. The God we serve not only spoke all of that into existence, but with the billions of stars and all of the galaxies, all the planets, all the whatever that He has spoken into existence, He calls them each one by name. How much more valuable are we than the stars in the sky? He knows each of us by name as well. What we're going towards, what, 8 billion people on this planet right now, fast approaching that number, and God knows each one by name. He knows the number of hairs on our head. For some of us, that job is getting easier, but He knows them nonetheless, amen? So He says, I call them all, one by one. I know them each by name. Here's the key. Because of His great power, because of His mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Not one of them is missing. And then it says, another question. So why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause, why is my cause disregarded by my God? Do you not know, have you not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth? He, our God, will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. And then this is where we started last week. He gives strength to the weary, and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait for the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. One of my devotionals, Great is Thy Faithfulness, adds this. He writes, life's heartbreaks and tragedies can put an end to our resilience, our endurance, our nerve, and they can bring us to our knees. But if we put our hope in the Lord and rely on Him, He renews the key to our endurance lies in the exchange of our limited resources for God's limitless strength. I like that. The key to it all is to exchange our limited resources for God's limitless strength. And it's ours for the asking. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So with God's strength, we can run and not be weary, even when days become hectic and demanding. With His strength, we can walk and not faint, even though tedious, dull routine, the routines of our lives, they may make the way seem dreary and long, but God can overcome that. The psalmist exclaimed this in the midst of his pilgrimage here on earth. He said, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, O Lord. Psalm 84, verse 5. So what an exchange. God's infinite strength for our finite weakness. I love that. God's infinite strength for our finite weakness. We may think that we attract others to Christ more effectively through our strengths than through our weaknesses. But the Lord used trouble and weakness, as we learned last week in the Apostle Paul's life, to teach him to rely on God's power. 2 Corinthians 1:9, Paul testified this. He says, "When I am weak, then I am strong. And out of my weakness comes God's strength." Praise God. So when Christians act as if we hardly know what weakness is, needy people often think, "Well, I could never be like that. I could never be that strong." But when Christians admit that we experience weakness, then Christ's strength in our weakness, we can proclaim this hope. The strength that Jesus gives to me, he can give it to you. And so as we share our weaknesses with others, not just let them see our strengths, but as they know that we wrestle just like they do with weaknesses, with worries, with whatever that may come our way, the strength that Jesus gives me, he'll give it to you as well, because God is no respecter of persons. So whose strength will we proclaim today? Will we proclaim our own strength, or will we boast in the strength that only God can give, his strength alone? Praise God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, a very familiar scripture, tells us this: "I can do all things through Christ," who what? "Strengthens me." I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. However, to experience God's strength, we must first be willing to admit our weaknesses. Amen? You got to be able to admit that before God's strength will come. Once again, the devotional, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," writes this: when we're burdened and exhausted, even a minor problem can seem too big for us to handle. Have you ever seen a kid that, you know, they get a little cranky, they need a nap, you know they need a nap, but boy, they just don't want to go down, you know? They just won't admit that they need to stop and you know, take that nap. We're kind of like that as adults. When we're burdened and we're exhausted, we will face even a minor problem with trepidation. It may seem just way too much for us to handle. It's more than we can, you know, fathom at the time. And so we need to understand that is why we need the encouragement of God's word, because it draws our attention to the untiring God who knows all of our needs. Amen. God not only knows our name, but he knows our unique situation in life. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what I'm dealing with. He knows what we're going through. And the Bible says his eye is always upon us, his ear is open to our cry, and his hand is always outstretched towards us to minister to us and touch our lives. And so the word of God is an encouragement to us. So we need that word. It draws our attention to the Lord, and he knows every need that we have. So I want us to take a look this morning. Exodus chapter 15, verse 2 tells us this: "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God." It's got to be personal. You can't serve mama's God or daddy's God. You got to serve the God that you know. Amen? You've got to know him for yourself. You've got to have a personal walk with Jesus of your own. So he's my God, and I will praise him. He's my Father's God, and I will exalt him. I love that. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 22, Paul says this: "Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called," folks like you and I that have received Christ as Savior, "both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God." I love that. We're talking about our weakness, but God's strength, God's power. "So Christ, the power of God, but he's also the wisdom of God." Verse 25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Man, I love that. We'll say that again. The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, than the wisest person on the planet. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Praise God. And then I think we can all identify with Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy 1:12. And it says this. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Each one of us, the Bible says, all things work together for good to those of us that, first of all, love God and are called according to his purpose. And that's what Paul is saying here. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. There's a calling on each one of our lives. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of our lives. All we have to do is figure it out. And we do that by talking to him, praying every day, going to the Word, gathering together like this, listening to teaching, and teaching ourselves as we spend time alone with the Lord. And so God has appointed us to his service. God has a place for each one of us in the body of Christ to use us with the talents, the gifts, the abilities that he's placed within each one of us. I love that. I want us to go way back to the in the back towards the New Testament. We're going to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy. And we're going to go to chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And I want us to pick up at, I'm in 1 Timothy. Let me get to 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to pick up at verse number 16. And he says this, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. That not only happened to Paul, but you remember it happened to Jesus as well. All the disciples just fled. They just deserted him, left him. And so he says, but God, may it not be held against them. Prayed a prayer just like Jesus prayed from the cross. Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Just like Stephen, the first martyr, prayed, Father, don't hold this sin against them when they stoned Stephen. And so Paul prays the same thing. Don't let that be held against them just because they deserted me, just because they bailed out in a time of trouble. Verse 17, though, the encouraging part, he says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. I love that. The Lord will never leave us. The Lord will never forsake us. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the ages. We can count on his steadfast love. God will never stop loving you, and he'll never forsake you. He'll always be there for you. God stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me, the message, the gospel message, the good news, might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. 1 Peter tells us that the devil goes about like a roaring lion, okay, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible didn't say he was a roaring lion. He just tries to fake us out as if he is one. But if we just rebuke him in the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, the Bible says the enemy has to flee. So Paul says, I was delivered from that lion's mouth, the devil, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. And he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Praise God. I'm going to tell you what. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. God's going to take me and you safely to his heavenly kingdom as well, and our future home. God's going to be faithful to do that. He'll do that for us. And I don't think it's that far away, I have to admit. I believe we're really, really close. I want us to go a little bit further back to the book of Hebrews. Chapter number 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to pick up at verse number 32, and it says this, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who what? Through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised. God has promised us a lot of things, guys, in his word, and God is going to honor those promises. Gained what was promised, they who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. When you feel you're at your lowest, when you feel like, man, I'm just making a mess of this. Man, the Lord deserves better than what I'm producing right now. Or I don't feel like I'm at my best. Whatever the enemy throws in your mind and you start believing some of that stuff. The Bible says that our weakness, God can turn it into strength. And then they became powerful in battle and they routed foreign armies. Praise God. David said, I'm not going to fear, though thousands would be surrounding me. He says, I'm not going to fear. He said, what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in him. And then later he amended that. He said, you know what? I'm going to trust, and I'm not even going to be afraid. And I think that's how we need to try to be as well in these last days. Keep your finger in the book of Hebrews. But before that, we're going a little bit further back in the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's pick up at verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. And it says this, for this reason, Paul writing to them, he says, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, all the church there in Ephesus, he said, and your love for all the saints, ever since I've heard about you, he said, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I love some of the intercessory prayers that Paul prays in Ephesians and some of the other epistles that he writes. And he always is making intercessory prayer a major part of his walk with the Lord. He intercedes for the people, for the churches that he's established, and for those that he's just heard about that he invests in. He said in verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you, each one of you, a spirit or the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better, that you might be drawn closer to him in relationship with the Lord. I pray also that the eyes of your heart, your mind, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The Bible talks about the blessed hope. That's the coming, the second coming of Christ. He says, but also the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And then this, his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, the power of God, is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul says in another place that we are seated with Christ in heavenly realms already. We're not there physically yet, but in the spiritual realm we are. We're with him, seated in heavenly places. But I love the fact that we're talking about God's incomparably great power for us who believe. And that power of God, is just like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, where we know that he ever lives to make intercession for us. But then he says in verse 21, that place that he's seated is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God, the Father, has placed all things under his, Jesus' feet, and appointed him, Jesus, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The Bible says that Jesus exhibits the fullness of the Godhead in his bodily form. Love it. Let's go back to Hebrews. I said we were going to go back there. This time, let's go earlier in the book to Hebrews chapter number 4. And I want to finish up with that this morning. Hebrews chapter 4, and let's begin at verse number 14. And it says this, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens," or gone into heaven, like we just read about what Paul wrote, "Jesus, the Son of God," that's who he's talking about, "let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." We talked about faith this morning as we sang. And so it's important that we hold firmly to the faith that we profess, that we hold firmly to the promises that we're claiming. Don't quit on God. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we're going to reap a harvest if we don't faint, if we don't quit, if we don't give up. So we hold on to that, to the faith that we profess. Verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, and yet he was without sin." That's why Jesus can be called the sinless Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the earth, because that's exactly what he was. Even though he was tempted in every point, just like us, yet he remained faithful. He remained sinless. And that's what had to be in order to meet God's righteous demands. We never could, and so that's why Jesus came. And so because of all that, verse 16 as we close, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with" what? "With confidence. Let's go there boldly so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." What's your need this morning? We all are living in times of great need, individually, as couples, as families, things we're facing, as the body of Christ in the world today, not just in America, but globally. So much going on, so much turmoil. Not only are morals crumbling in America, but they're crumbling worldwide. It's a global thing. We see the hand of the enemy of our souls working in this world. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? So those of us that know Christ, no reason to fear, no reason to panic, no reason to stress out. We can come boldly before this throne of grace to find his mercy and grace to help us in our time of need, regardless of what your need is this morning.